You know when you have that signature tune that you just don't mind being known by, right? And then, you know, you've got to use PPL free license and music. And this is that tune for me. I just love it. It's just called Keep Holding On. And I think about where I am in my journey with my life, wife in waiting, my business. That's me. Don't give up. Keep holding on. It's just a nice, gentle, mellow blend that just tells me, just keep going, Jenny, because God has got you in the palm of his hand. And be ready. Be ready. I'm Jenny Russell. Welcome to Her Health and Happiness right here on UK Health Radio, the only radio station that looks at every aspect of health through holistic lenses. It's available on podcasts, it's available on Alexa. It's something you can listen to in your car, in your home, whatever you're doing. We are here to serve you. How you doing? Now, like I told you, I went to an amazing Diverse Business Summit, and that is the one of the ladies that I met at that event is my guest. And it will be a two-parter because I said to her, we only need 25 minutes. 1 hour and 25 minutes later. How could I cut the wonderful Lisa Kelly? She's the founder of Lisa Marie Skincare, a brand inspired by her personal journey through infertility and reproductive health challenges. And that's why I just gave her the stage, because she deserves it. It's going to be powerful beyond measure. So get ready to have your dancing shoes. Her Health and Happiness is a show dedicated to all aspects of female intimate health and the whole person. And this week, we're about as intimate as we can get. So I said, it was an hour and 25 minutes as opposed to a 25 minute interview. And I was hoping to share with Professor Michael Crooks about COPD Day that was on last week. And just understanding the challenges we have with respiratory care, but that will be coming. So it's better late than never. But I want to just, you know, before, because this, I mean, we're at the end of November. I cannot believe we have 1 month left before 2024 is over. Now, listen. Honestly, it's about what you choose to do with where you are. And at this moment in time, you know, I've always told you I'm a wife in waiting. And I was wondering to myself, I was thinking to myself, what might be overwhelming my desire to be married? Because I was on a webinar yesterday and we were talking about, obviously, it's business and opportunities, and this man was sharing his journey and how he had all the trappings of what seemed like, you know, a wonderful life, but it was costing him all the hours God sends. And he ended up losing a lot, you know, in terms of his possessions. He ended up losing quite a bit. And then when he pivoted somewhere else, he ended up being duped out of a lot of money. And I mean a lot of money. And one of the things he recognized was, we're chasing all these things, and we are, but your health, without your health, you know, it's like chasing the wind and thinking you can catch it with your bare hands. It's just not going to happen. And I did a post today and I shared, and it's just, you know, it's like, you have to understand that stress is not something that you can bottle. These things are not something you can just take, bottle, put away and think, okay, you know, I'll catch it tomorrow and I'll be fine. You know, happiness is not something you can sort of just pick up off a grocery shelf. These things aren't there that you can just grab. So when it comes to looking at our health, when it comes to understanding where we are, I just, you know, I get these things. And one of the things that came to me was this: stress has no price tag, happiness, no assets. Wellness is priceless, built on principles money can't buy. A set mind isn't bought, it's chosen. I'll read it to you once again, because I think it's really important to understand. I do like words. And you know I like rhyming words, but this doesn't rhyme completely. But it just came into my head. Stress has no price tag, but it can be deadly. I should have put that one in there, right? Stress has no price tag, but the ultimate cost is death. Happiness has no assets, but it can cost you everything. Wellness is priceless, but it's built on a principles money can't buy. A set mind isn't bought, it's chosen. And this is what I try to do with the 60-day journey. Open up your mind to look at things through a different lens, to have a different perspective on where you find yourself. And as I said to you, I know I get these messages from God, and I just thought, before I even redid that one, I was just like, I woke up the other day and I was like, Pac-Man. So any of you that are of my age and understand, Pac-Man was one of the first computer games, a little yellow head that went around going chomp, 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 chomp. And he just ate everything in his wake. And I was looking at it, just, it's like God just said to me, unforgiveness is a Pac-Man. I thought about it and I thought, it's so true. So out came some spoken word. Unforgiveness is a Pac-Man, devouring my core, chomping through my joy, leaving scars I ignore. Each grudge a glowing pellet, consumed like greed, fueling its hunger, planting anger's seed. But unlike the game, there's no winning streak. Quality of life, ruined relationships, my soul left weak. Unforgiveness, it gnaws at my friendships, dismantles trust, turns love into ashes and hearts into dust. Internal storms are raging, organs paying the price, hormones unbalanced, emotions like ice. That was written in regards to the Finally Free to Forgive that I've spoken about many times, which you can get a copy of the free ebook for, pelvicsecrets@icloud.com, or DM me at pelvicsecrets. But that was my little poem. And then when I was on this course yesterday, as I said, it was asking, what do you want? You know, what is it you really want for yourself? And it's really interesting because, you know, I've always wanted to be a wife. So it's a matter of, I'm really shallow and sad, but actually it really was, you know, and I have a vision of what it is I want for myself. So I'm going to share it here because I think sometimes, you know, I've shared it before and people get latched onto one word and it's really quite interesting, or one statement, but it's quite interesting because I know what it is I want. And then also when I share this, many people say, oh, you need to lower your standards. I have high standards. God has a plan for me. He knows my desire and he will give me the desires of my heart. So I ain't lowering my standards for anybody. Anyway, I was saying, like, what might be overwhelming my desire to be married, to have my tall, godly, athletic husband, a man established whose name is known at the gates, my leader, lover, listener, learner, who will teach, guide and encourage me to be more than himself, a man I can pray with and journey together into those latter years, a man who understands success is not defined only by material assets, but sees me as the most precious asset he has. Even though looks may be fleeting, God has blessed me even with a man of distinction, hints of grey, with warm loving eyes, chiseled cheekbones, broad smile, luscious lips, and his own beautiful teeth. A man who lets me know that I don't have to fear my future, our future, because God is at the center of it, and our children are blessed because of him and how he blesses and protects us. And then I asked the question, why is it hard for me to be visible with what would be my best approach to be found by my mighty man of valor, a man who communicates, articulates, listens, loves, endures, and forgives, to name a few. And it, you know, I spoke to a friend about it yesterday and she said, that's too much in one man. Are we really saying that we cannot find a man who communicates well, articulates beautifully, listens, you know, intently, loves, endures, forgives, is spontaneous, is adventurous, is athletic, understands that mental health in terms of brain training, crossing the left and right hemisphere, crosswords, puzzles, sports that cross like golf, tennis, badminton, those kind of sports are really good, especially in later life, and, you know, doing things physically and mentally to stimulate physical and mental wellness, understands nutrition and lifestyle, doesn't want to be out raving every single weekend. Are you really telling me you cannot find a man that's like that at the age of sassy, sexy 62? It's not true, because I've been told before that at my age, the pond I am swimming in of men of caliber is a much smaller pond, and that people younger than me have a much bigger pool to swim in. That's fine, because God isn't limited by those challenges. And the way to that, he says, it's harder, it's easier to get a camel through the eye of the needle than it is to find people of righteousness. So for me, I don't mind. I don't need a big pool. If you look at the wealth in this country and the concentration of it, it's not in a big pool, is it? And those elite, those small little clubs, they keep themselves to themselves. They don't have everybody in it. I'm not looking for a lot. But I think character is something that's really important. And so I can spend time looking at my character and working on where I am. But I also know that it's time for me to rise up on wings like eagles, so I can run and not walk, and run and not grow faint, and walk and not grow weary. Because the social circles that I find myself in at the moment, that doesn't have the quality of kingfish that I'm looking for. Anyway.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Start your day the right way with Revive Active's range of super supplements and get the most out of life. Take one power-packed sachet mixed with water and enjoy a super tasty health drink at work, at home or on the go. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to optimize your health and well-being to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health and more. No filler, no stimulants, no artificial colors or preservatives. Just the right mix of vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and hero ingredients to help you put back what life takes out. Try our 7-day or 30-day boxes and use code UKRADIO to get a free supplement shaker. Revive Active. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay.
So. Oh, yes, now it says this meeting's being recorded.
Yes. So, guys, this is what you call part two. So I am really, really blessed with the guests that I have now. But I have this, sometimes we get so excited and we start talking that I forget to record. So we have a conversation that we want to share with you. But if I don't press record, we're not sharing anything. So let me start again. I love to be only as strong as you're honest, right? So last Friday, as I shared with you, I went to a wonderful working a business summit, the Diverse Business Summit, with the wonderful Michelle Raymond. And it was about being able to see how we can move into larger corporations and make connections and contact. And I had spoken to one of the ladies on a panel. And when I shared with her what I do, she said, I have the perfect person for you. And that perfect person for me is the person that's sitting in front of me on the screen. And we are about to share something really powerful that we hope will be a blessing, beyond a blessing, to women who have been struggling with issues around fertility and also with issues such as endometriosis, polyps, fibroids, or cysts. So Lisa Kelly is the founder of Lisa Marie Skincare, a brand inspired by her personal journey through infertility, and reproductive health challenges. Recognizing the negative effects of harmful ingredients on hormone balance and overall well-being, Lisa was driven to create natural, non-toxic products that enhance wellness while being free from harmful substances. In addition to her skincare line, Lisa hosts Safe Space Women's Workshops that empower individuals to share their stories and foster community. So guys, I want you to welcome me as we join Lisa, as Lisa joins me, sorry, and shares her story, insights on the power of natural beauty and the vital role of self-care in empowering women on their wellness journey. So Lisa, welcome to Her Health and Happiness.
Hi, Jenny. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure. Honestly,
it's my pleasure because I feel like I'm going to be listening to myself coming through a different voice. A bit more height, a bit more, you know. It's going to be absolutely amazing. So, you know, I think this is going to be a really powerful journey because when we look at nutrition and lifestyle factors, so I'm a Czech professional, that stands for Corrective High Performance Exercise Kinesiology. It's like the study of muscle and movement. And obviously I specialize in female intimate health. But I think why I love the topic so much, I fell into it by default, number one. I've been in it for over 28 years. And I think what I like about it is that as experts, but you know, you do a degree, you do something, you get a skill, you get a qualification, and you start to, and I developed my own sensory program. And then you're seen as the expert. But what I want to say that I believe is what makes us experts is the way in which you come along and share your challenges and your journeys, and we're able to help you. And the more challenges you have that we're able to solve, that's where we get our expertise from. Without the client, we don't actually know as much as we think we do. Because I haven't suffered fibroids, I haven't suffered cysts, I haven't suffered polyps, I haven't suffered IVF, I haven't suffered a hysterectomy, I haven't suffered, you know, vaginal laxity. I haven't suffered any of these vaginal or pelvic or reproductive challenges that women suffer. So I've got to be able to have a woman in front of me and give her the confidence that I can help her help herself.
Yeah.
That's what you've got to do. And I think that's a really powerful thing. But actually, I'm going to start on a different track since we started again, because what happens usually is that we look at it in terms of a physical issue or a nutritional issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's, and now, of course, the mental emotional thing is finally coming inside. But what we don't look at a lot of the times is there's six different types of stresses. So you have chemical stress, you have environmental stress, you have mental emotional stress, you have nutritional stress, you have thermal stress, and you have chemical stress. And I don't think people realize there's different stresses. So chemical stress is going to be around perfumes, products, herbicides, pesticides, things you put on your food, but things you put into the creams and, you know, beauty treatments that we're spending hundreds of, that's supposed to give our skin the elasticity and the youthfulness. But we never look at this sort of collaboration of toxic chemicals and its ability to penetrate the dermis, get into the bloodstream, and have an impact on our hormonal health. And if it has an impact on our hormonal health, it's going to have an impact on our organ health.
Yeah.
But if it has an impact on those two things, we don't realize it's going to have an impact, because our sex hormones are hormones, right? Mm-hmm. So we don't realize what hormones it impacts, and we don't realize that can have an impact on fertility. That's where it becomes ultimately a big issue. So what I'd like to do, because I said to you when I spoke to you the other day, I don't need 25 minutes, but I can tell you now, this is going to be a show in its own right, because it's a 50-minute show. And we were talking and I was just like, we're going to break. There's a lot to unpack in this here. And I'd love to unpack it with you, because I just think you've just got such a powerful, powerful message. And I think you've turned your mess into a massive message and a test into a testimony that I think people are really going to benefit from. And I'm looking forward to, you know, collaborating with you in the future, just putting it out there. So let's kind of go back to, how old were you when you had your first period?
I started my periods, I was 14, going on 15, almost 15. Okay.
Mm. And when you started your periods, were they regular? Were they heavy? What was your nutrition like at that time?
So I was quite a sporty girl. And so my periods were pretty good, not overly heavy to start off with. And I've never eaten red meat. I never liked it as a child. So I've only really eaten chicken and fish, to be fair. So, and I think actually when I was around 11, I decided to give chicken and fish up. So I was actually vegetarian for a period of time, maybe almost about 8 years, I think. So I think my periods were pretty good in the first, 5 to 8 years of my life.
Okay, fantastic. But when you, again, up until the age of 11, when you was eating chicken, so you weren't going to like fast food shops to get your chicken and fish, you weren't doing that?
Do you know what? I probably had more, since I'm South London girl, so we have a shop called Morley's. I think back in the day, there was moments when I was at Morley's. But just in terms of like burgers and things like that, it was never even my thing.
Good, fantastic. So when you went vegetarian at 11, what kind of things were you eating and how were you preparing those foods?
So at 11, I definitely wasn't eating well. I was a vegetarian, but I was I had poor nutrition. So I was very anemic. I think single digit anemic in the end. So I didn't have the best diet, to be fair. I just didn't eat many pulses at that time. Vegetables, I've always loved vegetables, to be fair, but I just know that my diet was not balanced, and that's the key thing.
Okay. And then, so now you said, what sports were you doing? What sports did you like to do?
I was doing martial arts, so taekwondo.
I did taekwondo.
Yeah. I was a British junior champion.
Oh, fantastic.
My brother was a senior. But yes, I was doing taekwondo. I enjoyed running. I was quite, I enjoyed sporty sports,
And would you say your life was stressful? Are you a sort of high stress person? Not so stressful.
I don't think I was. I was smoking back then. I started smoking at 16. I gave up when I was 27. And I was studying. So yeah, it was a bit, university, right? It was a bit stressful at times. And, there were financial challenges in my family at that point as well. So there were moments where it was quite stressful, actually.
Okay, because that kind of helps to paint a background. Because again, like I said, there's different types of stresses and those, they all compound themselves. So, that's quite interesting. So, so let's look at the sort of chemical stresses and the environmental stresses. Because obviously then if you're a smoker, the environmental stresses are quite high. The chemical stresses, what creams or perfumes and hair products were you using at the time?
So at that time, it was the Dax hair. I did all the slick hair.
Oh my God, that really
exactly. The blues, literally.
The blue one.
Dax, it's all those stiff, it was the eye gels, it was, all that sort of stuff. I was going to hairdressers often, I was relaxing my hair.
Mm.
And because my hairstyle at the time was short, you have to be there minimum of 5 to 6 weeks being hairdressers. So I was relaxing my hair that frequently. Even if they said, oh, no, you can't do it too often, I was going in because I wanted my hair to look sharp all the time. So I know at that time, I was actually taking on board a lot of toxins. I was eating a lot of dairy. I loved Marks and Spencer's thick and cream yogurts. Every single day I'd have one of those. So I know my diet wasn't amazing back then. Mm. But I think at that time, I wasn't aware of that. I didn't know that. In my early 20s, I just didn't know that.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I think the word perfume actually has 100 different chemicals within that one word on its own, but bar all the other stuff that you have. So what was your first experience of a gynecological challenge? How old were you and what was your first experience?
So I was 21 when I had my first ovarian cyst. And Jenny, as you know, our ovaries are probably about 2 centimetres in diameter. The cyst that I had was the size of a grapefruit. It was so large that as I walked, I could feel this thing vibrating inside me. I sat down sharply, if I kind of just bring myself down in the seat, I'd get sharp shooting pains. I could feel it, But at that age, I didn't know what it was. I just thought it was just, part of my period, I didn't recognize any signs. I wasn't doing any kind of journals or, diarize anything. So I didn't know. It was just pain. And I was just taking painkillers for it. I ended up having open surgery. So I had laparotomy, equivalent to a C-section. And that's when they removed the cyst off my ovary. But thankfully at that time...
Now explain the laparotomy again, because I can never say the word properly.
Laparotomy.
So explain that again, because you explained it beautifully the first time.
Yeah, so laparotomy is like a C-section. So it's almost like having a cesarean. And so they cut you... For me back then, I don't know, just the timing. I think nowadays they're much smaller. But it was literally about, I'd say... probably about 6-7 centimeters long, and they go through your layers of muscle to get into your uterus, to then into your womb area, sorry, to then take the remove the cyst. And then when they stitch you back up, it's really quite interesting because they put like these two bubbles at the end of the stitch. So you can imagine whatever fiber it was when they stitched me up. I had these two kind of clamps on either end to kind of keep the, you know, keep all together that you then have to have removed at a later time. So at the age of 21, you know, I was quite resilient, but it was a lot to take on board. Nobody was giving me any answers. And to be fair, I probably wasn't even asking the right questions at that time. I was 21, right? They told me that I needed the surgery. I just went ahead and did it, you know. But it's just unfortunate. Less than a year later, I developed another cyst. Because what it is although they've removed the first cyst, I'm still doing the same things I was doing before. Still eating the same dairy. Still, you know, sugars and all those horrible things.
They're not connecting anything together. The dots aren't being connected, are they?
Exactly. So by the time I got the second cyst now, I remember going back to the GP. I kind of felt as though I was on first name basis at that point because there's a few times I was going, I've kind of gone, I had thrush all the time. I had the thrush. And so anyway, I went back to see him and he then told me.
Flipping yogurts, mate.
Exactly. So he told me he's going to book me for surgery again. I was like, oh, and I said, you know what? Actually, we're not going to do that. I said, I'm going to try something natural. I'm going to try some natural therapies. And he looked at me like I was some kind of Fruit Loop, you know, that kind of, yeah, exactly.
Yes, darling. David, I'll see you. You go ahead and you go and have fun and suffer for a while longer. And when you're ready, come back. I'll be here.
Exactly that. He literally said to me, I will still go ahead and book your surgery. He didn't say go knock yourself out, but he may as well have said, you know.
Knock yourself out.
Yeah, go knock yourself out. And so I found a Chinese herbalist and just, you know, explained to him what was happening. And the first thing he said to me, Jenny, was, do not eat dairy. Dairy is not for human consumption. I was like, okay. So from that point, I cut out the yogurts. I didn't, and I cut out soft cheeses. I still cut my cheddar cheese. I just loved cheddar cheese at the time. But I was, he gave me herbs for 6 to 8 weeks to take. And that was two to three times a day. And he also did some acupuncture and cupping. Then I knew that, you know.
How was the smell of those herbs? Were they lovely, yeah? That's the aroma in your house.
The herbs. Do you know, I can't even describe on a scale of 1 to 10. In fact, if 1 was they were okay and 10 was they were horrendous, it was a 12. You have to boil these herbs, right? And they stuck the whole house. You know, like when you fry fish and the whole house stinks?
Well, cauliflower stick, yeah, cabbage. So where are your parents from?
They're from Jamaica.
Okay, so my dad was from Jamaica, God rest his soul. My mum's from Barbados. Now, Barbados, they say, what does taste bad, does do you good.
That is so true. That is so true. They did taste bad. They tasted awful. And but what was so interesting, I was very rigid and I stuck to it and I was like, I'm going to try this. So by the time I then ended up going for the surgery, which was scheduled for me, got into hospital, I'm in the gown, I've got the camera in my hand. I'm like, okay, cool. Getting prepared for this another 6 weeks of recovery after having yet another, you know, laparotomy. But thankfully, the consultant says to me, let me just quickly just check to see how things are going. So I'm going to give you an ultrasound scan before we start the operation. So there she is scanning away. I've got nowhere to go, but I'm getting quite impatient. Like, oh, come on. You know? And then eventually she says to me, oh, Jenny, at that point, I was like, what does O mean? Like, are there 5, 10 more? Like, what does O mean, you know?
Was she digging around for a while, I think? Was she?
She was there for a good while. She was there for a good while. I was like, what's going on?
There's gold
like,
in here
you know
somewhere.
Who it is. Just tell me. Jenny, she said, there's nothing there. Let me tell you, I couldn't believe what she was saying. I literally, because you know you've got the gown on, right? So you have to untie the back of the gown to lay on the bed for her to then, you know, they put the blanket over you to lift the gown up. Jenny, I jumped off the bed. Literally, one of them. Completely forgetting that the gown's open. This poor woman's got full view of my butt as I'm trying to run out of the room. I don't know where I'm going, but I was just so excited that there was nothing there. And I just thought to myself, look at that. It literally was a real turning point in my life. It was groundbreaking for me because it's what it showed me was give your body the nutrients it needs and omit anything that it doesn't need that's going to cause inflammation and your body will heal itself. And yes, it took 2 months, but it still healed itself. So in hindsight, I needn't have had the very first surgery had I known what I knew then, you know?
Mm.
And I think just to just cut you for 2 seconds, like I said, I want, because I know like my listeners may listen to that and they may think, yeah, it's all right for you. It's not as cut and dry as that. And it isn't. Everyone's body responds differently. But what I will say is that I used to do these talks in East London, an evening with Jenny Russell, and I used to do the talks on the hidden sugars that feed fibroids. Now, my sister, one of my sisters, I'm one of four girls, and one of the middle sisters, she used to work for IBM. So she used to work on secondment. She used to stay in hotels all the time. So that hotel food is really like pub food. It's like chips and beans. Mm. She's very much supports Liverpool, proper ladette. So she's drinking pints and pints every evening. So, of course, you know, the yeast and stuff. But she had fibroids. And I'd done this talk and I used to do this lady, she heard me talking. And so she came along to the talk. Now, this is a lady that did Chinese herbalist. This is my sister that did nothing. But on her, I mean, she'll never forget her 40th birthday. Mm-hmm. So she was going, her birthday's in May, and she was having the operation to remove her fibroids in the July. But on the 8th of May, 18 years ago, my sister, her started to bring up like garden green bile. It was like green grass bile, like bright green bile. And they said that the fibroids had started to attack themselves. So they had to get her to sign a paper to say if they couldn't save her womb, they would do a hysterectomy, because she was, my brother had to carry her out of the house, you know? Mm-hmm. And that was her experience. But, you know, there was no lifestyle changes happening for her. Whereas the other lady heard me on the radio, went to a Chinese herbalist, made lifestyle adjustments. And my sister lost 2.5 stone because her fibroid was like the size of a 16-week pregnancy. This lady lost about the equivalent, but she stayed on the same trajectory. And mm-hmm. I always say that if they don't teach you, and if they don't add, you know, and get you to look at lifestyle habits, and as you went further to find out chemical stresses and, you know, and products, mm-hmm. then to take something away without teaching you anything means that something's going to come back, because all you're doing is you're taking it away, but you're not making any changes. You're just taking it away. Mm-hmm. You're leaving it. You're leaving the same person with the same habits that created it in the first place. So carry on.
Yeah. And that's another, it's a good point actually, because the point is they would have just cut me open again. And I just think to myself, this is ludicrous. Why would you not try to understand what the cause of it is in the very first place, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, so in terms of my journey, Jenny, let's just fast track 10 years. I'm in my 30s now. I'm in a good relationship. I want to have children. I've been trying for a couple of years and nothing's happening. So I had private healthcare because of the company I was working for. And I decided to go for some investigations to find out that I had fibroids. So you would think that having experienced Chinese herbalism, that I would have known what to do and just, you know, go back to that, which worked. But actually I didn't. I was told that I could have a myomectomy, which is keyhole surgery. They told me that they could remove them pretty quickly. The recovery is less than 2 weeks. So it sounded like a great idea, you know? I ended up having 3 myomectomies because the fibroids just kept coming back. And every time I asked the consultants, like, what's the cause of these things? No one seemed to know. They couldn't give me absolutely anything. And I think I was just so desperate to get pregnant. You know, people were talking to me about how my body clock was ticking and it's time now. And if I don't do it now, if I don't get pregnant now, then it's never going to happen. So yeah. I pretty much tried every and anything, you know. I went for IVF as well. So I actually had, the fibroids removed so that I could then go for IVF treatment. When I went to IVF clinic, they then told me that because my fallopian tube was filling with fluid, that actually I should have that taken out as well. They could have told me to cut my right arm off. I was quite happy to go and have yet another myomectomy.
We're going to go to a break now, because you need to pick your bottom lip off the floor. And then we're going to come back on the other side and we're going to find out what happened with the pregnancy. So we've done cysts and we've done fibroids and we've just lost a tube. So I'll come back after the break.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Good. Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena Sensitive Care Pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena Sensitive Care Pads with a skin comfort formula online and in stores now.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck. Fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, I just thought people are on the radio now sitting at the edge of their seat going like, okay, and get a bit closer. She's got a deal to share. So now you're going for IVF.
Yeah, going for IVF. And again, in my desperation, I decided to find the best of the best clinic, Harley Street, the most expensive one, because it's got to work, right? Desperation makes you do absolutely anything, Jenny. So I had a round of IVF with this clinic, and it was intensive. It was actually quite gruesome. So for people who have been through IVF, they probably will resonate. It's hardcore, Jenny. You know.
Okay, so I've never had IVF. Like I said, I've never had it. So I think sometimes it's good to know, because I do know I worked with a lady years ago who, when she'd go for the IVF, you know, we're walking around, she's had it now, we're all excited. And then when it didn't work, it's like you don't know how to speak to her, you don't have to look to her, you don't know what to do. But the stress that you put yourself under to try and get pregnant,
it's immense.
Realizing that stress alone is actually going against the pregnancy that you want and trying to carry. And then when you lose that, it's much harder. And I suppose there's different stages at which you can lose. I think that's the other thing we don't realize, is that there's different, like hers didn't take, they didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
There's different stages. So then I want to know like a bit more about what the procedure is. And then did yours take? And then what was your experience?
Sure. So you first go for, when you go for your first assessment, and they do ultrasound scans, and they can kind of see the condition of your womb, and just so they can understand, you know, what support you might need. So they were able to identify at that point that because one of my fallopian tubes was being filled with fluid, that it would cause the pregnancy to almost like wash away. All right. So their suggestion to me at the time was to have that fallopian tube removed, which I did via keyhole surgery. So then when I then went back, I was able to start the IVF, and it's, they give you medication, strong medication, first to kind of suppress your ovarian system. So it will stop you from producing eggs so that they can control your cycle. So I was taking sprays, nasal sprays, I was taking injections, and then I'd go for the egg collection. They then take the eggs, they then, you know, put them with my partner's sperm in a petri dish. They then fertilize. And then like, you know, 5 or so days later, you then have those embryos placed back into your womb, into your uterus. So I was fortunate at the time, well, I felt that I was fortunate at the time, that they'd collected 20 eggs and 10 of those eggs had fertilized. So I had pretty, you know, a good chance of getting pregnant. My first round of IVF, it didn't work. And here's the thing, I never told anyone I was doing the IVF. I didn't, because I felt embarrassed. I felt, as a Black woman, that, you know, I'm supposed to go full for multiplier. You know, that's what I do. And I had friends and family around me who were getting pregnant with ease. They sneezed and they were pregnant. So I think my aim at the time was to kind of have this IVF on the sly, on the quiet, not tell anyone, but just be pregnant, you know? Mm. It didn't work out that way for me. The first cycle didn't work. It didn't work at all. And you have this two-week wait. So Jenny, once they've placed the embryo back into your womb, you've got 2 weeks to wait to find out whether or not you're pregnant. You literally pull your hair out in those 2 weeks. You're trying to be positive.
Can imagine.
Yeah, you're trying to be positive. You're now, every symptom that you feel, I was online just trying to understand from different forums, you know, what people were saying about that particular experience. So you literally drive yourself crazy, to be fair. You know, so yeah, I had my 2 week wait. I go in, you have your blood test. Am I pregnant? No, you're not. You know, and you've taken some of these needles that you have to take injections. They're like, they're this big.
It sounds like ice.
So I had my first round. It didn't work. Super disappointed, heartbroken, in fact. But then I felt pregnant naturally. Happy days, you'd think, right? I got to 5 months of pregnancy. And prior to having the IVF, having started the IVF, I had different sort of investigations. And one of them was where they put a blue dye through your uterus and it kind of fills and spills out into your fallopian tubes. And that's how they can then see whether or not your tubes are open or whether or not they're blocked.
Mm.
When I had that, we'll call it surgery for now, it's not really treatment. I remember being in there. So what they do is they put an injection in your vagina to kind of numb the pain. And I'd said to the guy,
I'm crossing my legs as well, audience.
Oh, I'm telling you, it's the things that I went through were just unreal. And I remember saying to him at the time, I'm in a lot of pain. This is my first experience of not having my voice heard, you know? Mm. And the guy just ignored me, ramming this thing, you know, in my vagina. And it was wow. so painful, Jenny, that I literally passed out on the bed. And they had to bring me back around. So I just kind of jumped back to me falling pregnant naturally now. I got to 5 months of pregnancy. So at that point, like, you think you're in the clear, right? You're like, I've done it. My body is not defunct. My body can do what it's supposed to do. I am pregnant. I went to the toilet and I came downstairs and I hit that bottom step before the main landing. And then my water just went gush. Couldn't believe it. I didn't know what was happening. I just burst into tears because I know
what hear that.
Is not right. Yeah. So it transpired that I had, my waters had ruptured. My cervix had just opened. And so I was in hospital for about 4 days or so before the baby became still and I had to give birth to the still baby. And then just to put the cherry on top of the cake, Jenny, I can laugh about it now because it's obviously I wasn't laughing about it at the time, but a few things happened. They had forgotten that the afterbirth hadn't come out. So about an hour or so later, they came rushing back into the room that I was in. So
doing that look like, what?
Sorry.
That's all right, carry on.
Yeah.
Just like.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, you say what? So they told me that they're going to put me back into labour. And I was like, oh, absolutely not. You guys are going to knock me out and do what you need to do because I'm not going back into labour. So anyhow, they did that. And I remember that night. It was literally one of the worst nights of my life because at this point now, my family's, everyone's gone home. And they've left me in, albeit in my own room, Jenny, but I'm in a ward where I can hear other women going into labour. So I've lost my baby. I've seen my baby dead in a little dish and I can hear other women going into labor to give birth to their babies. It was
that's the most wicked.
Horrendous experience. Mm. Yeah.
And mentally, emotionally, that must be, you know, and because that can, I know people that have given birth, stillbirth, and I also know people that have had to, you know, abort at sort of 6 months. Yeah. And it can just throw you into a massive depression. So but how did you handle that?
Do you know, that was my, I think at that point it was when I kind of really started speaking to God, although my relationship got stronger with him at the time, but it was super hard. It was super hard. And my partner at the time had a child. And so I would then go home and his son would come at the weekends and he was quite young as well. So I'd have to put a brave face on things to kind of, you know, obviously be there for him. So it was extremely hard for me, but I thought, you know what? We are going to do this. I'm going to go for another round of IVF. You've got another 8 embryos left. We're going to do this, you know? And I was eating clean. I wasn't drinking alcohol. I was doing what I thought was the right thing to do. So when I went for the second round of IVF, this time around I got a positive. So I was pregnant. So, you know, like happy days, all good, fantastic. Less than, I don't even know how long it was, probably about maybe a week or so, my progesterone started to drop. So what that meant was the actual embryo hadn't embedded fully into the line of the womb. So it was So at this point, I'm now distraught, I'm low, I'm looking at all these pregnant women, hating them, and not, it's just, that's not me, you know, it's not me to feel like that, but it's so hard to be so desperate to get pregnant and just be happy for all the young babies and pregnant women that you see around you, you know? And I think it was at that point I said, oh, do you know what? I can't be bothered with this IVF thing anymore. I'm done. And you'd never believe it. I fell pregnant again, naturally.
Wow.
About 3 months later, I fell pregnant again, naturally. So I was like, right, okay, this time it's going to work, you know? Hmm. And I made sure that I, you know, I was speaking to the consultants, you know, the pre-pregnancy consultants, and I was like, okay, cool. This is what I want to do. I'm going to have a stitch placed in my cervix because obviously we don't know why I lost the first one. So I want to do this and I really want to have this baby. Somehow I managed to let them convince me that I didn't need to have this stitch. And they also told me that if I have a stitch in the cervix, it can cause you to miscarry. So I was like, okay, well, okay, if I don't need it and the first time it's just fluke, it'll be fine. But of course you're super, you're hypersensitive, right?
Hmm.
I got to 5 months of pregnancy again, Jenny, and I was like, no, I think I'm having the same symptoms as before. So I went in to see them and said, look, please, can you just check? Something's not right, you know? I remember feeling as though they made me feel as though I was an inconvenience to them, you know, in going back in there to see them. They gave me an ultrasound scan and said, everything's fine. Like, just relax, just do you type thing. A week later, Jenny, my water's ruptured again. So the same.
Wow. Same as last time.
Same as last time. So, but this time they admitted me into hospital and I laid there on my back for 5 weeks trying to keep this baby in and keep the baby alive. And then there was this one day where I was just in so much pain, Jenny. I was like, and I was reading every, you know, I was online all the time, just reading all the different ways in which I can kind of get the amniotic fluid to kind of build up. I was drinking water, but then going to the toilet.
It's not working, every
time you move, then you lose the fluid.
Mm.
Anyhow, so I got to this one day and I remember saying to the nurse, I was like, look, I'm in a lot of pain. Can you just check me down there? She literally threw 2 paracetamols at me. Just literally, that's how it felt. So I took the 2 paracetamols. But you know, I can't explain it, Jenny, but you know
your body.
You know exactly. You know your body. You know something is not right, right? But you feel as though you're an inconvenience to them. And I pressed the button, I called her back and said, look, could you just please, just quickly check, because something just doesn't feel right. So she reluctantly did. She went down, she checked. And as she came up, Jenny, I literally saw the blood draining. That's how it felt. I saw the blood draining from her face. And she slammed the emergency button. A team just came in. They were surrounding my bed. They were wheeling me down the corridor, telling me they're going to do this, an emergency cesarean. I was like, well, wait, what's happening? Literally putting the candle in my hand as we was, you know, approaching theatre. And what had happened was because my cervix was open, my son's umbilical cord had dropped into my cervix. So he was being starved of oxygen because of
umbilical cord. Wow. Wow.
Yeah, so it was an awful experience. He was delivered and placed in NICU, the NICU. Yeah, so he was in, my brain's just gone.
Incubator,
that's it. And he lived for 2 months. He was a beautiful boy.
Oh.
2 months, but he passed up there. Mm.
Sweet. I remember my friend Julia, we all had children, like you said, people got children, and she got pregnant, and her and her partner at the time, they went to, her dad had a apartment in Spain, and it was just sort of like 45 minutes from Malaga or whatever, And they fell away before the baby comes. That's probably our last holiday. But they went away, I think, at 28 weeks, 27, 28 weeks. But the insurance is up to 26 weeks. And she had a problem. So they must have done some kind of surgery. And Tyler was born on the 1st of July. And he lived for 4 months and died on the 1st of November. We had to, you know, I put something together to try and bring him back home. It was really, really sad. And when you go for those things there, I just think, like, that just got to me. That's just like, you know, people just think you have sex, you get pregnant, you have a baby, and that's it. And that journey is, well, you know.
It transpired that I was actually pregnant at the same time as a friend, and we both had struggled to get pregnant. Wow. So to be pregnant at the same time was just like, you know, we've now got...
And she had her child.
Yeah, she's got it. He's beautiful. Yeah. Amazing boy. Yeah.
See, that's just, you know, but your heart is so pure because your smile, if you see this lady's face, it's very beautiful as well, you know. But let's play another trail, our second trail, and let's just come back on the other side, because this, I want to kind of, I'm going to just explain again about, you know, because you mentioned to me earlier on about what they miss with the service. I want you to just express that bit as well, because they miss the service, or why that happened. Then we can talk about proximity and organs. And I want to segue into how you discovered, you know, that your products were having an impact on where you find yourself. So let's pause and let's just come back on the other side.
All I can say is I haven't got any time. The 1st of December, the 60-day journey starts. So whether it comes down to fertility, polyps, fibroids, cysts, overcoming those, understanding how to improve your self-love, self-care, self-awareness, your hormonal harmony, your emotional empowerment, and everything else that comes of it, that's where I'm going to be. You can DM me at Pelvic Secrets, Twitter, Instagram, X. You can find me, Jenny Russell, on LinkedIn and Facebook, or you can email me pelvicsecrets@icloud.com. I do hope that what you've heard so far this week has really been powerful. If you want to ask any questions, feel free to ask me. You can find Lisa Marie on Lisa Marie Skincare on Instagram. It's LEIGHSA, yeah, _MARI, Lisa Marie Skincare at Instagram. But next week, we continue. What a powerful story. But until next week, in health and happiness, stay blessed, stay safe.